Kevin Patrick, and this is your Coffee Talk.
Oh, hello, bitches. It's Cousin Patrick, and this is your Coffee Talk for, what date is it? I don't even know what days are. I didn't do shit this weekend. That's probably why I don't know what day it is. I know it's Sunday. I just don't know the date, and, you know. Okay. Oh, that's right. Duh. I had to pull up my little calendar to let me know what day it was. How stupid. August 28th is this show for you. What the hell? You know, my computer's been acting very shitty lately. You know, I think Apple has sent out that virus that destroys all the computers that aren't Intel-based at this point. You know how that works. So, how is everybody doing? I'm doing good, good, good. This is going to be our first show here at the actual Coffee Talk studios now. This is very exciting. I'm in a completely new apartment. There is no oppression of the Somerville oppression over my head. I am now in North Charleston, which is very exciting. We have a very, not huge, you know, it's not gigantic or anything, but it is a much larger apartment than what we have, or had, excuse me. We have an upstairs and downstairs. I've got my own bedroom. Yay! So it is very exciting. For me to be in the stage that I am right now. Very, very excited. Life is picking up and moving on, and I'm eating pudding. Sorry about that. So much has been happening since the last time I talked to everybody. And I wasn't going to mention the cousin's queer or anything, because, you know, I'm picking up and moving on with my own show. It's like a spin-off, if you will, but not necessarily a spin-off, because I was doing it. It just didn't make sense. But anyway, the last time we spoke, I was talking with Travis down. That was actually downstairs in my dining room area, and we recorded a little bye-bye show for everybody, which was very sad. You know, very, very sad. The studio audience cried at the end. It was very, very sad. But that was even like 3 weeks ago. I think it was like two weeks ago. I don't know. It was a couple weeks ago. And so much has happened since then. Very, very exciting things. Very stupid things. Very annoying things. I'm not going to get into too much, you know, craziness or whatnot. Ooh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ! Speaking of Jesus Christ, there's a church that, oh, God. There's a church up the street from my house, Northwoods Assembly, I think it is, and it burned down probably about a week or two ago, maybe like a week ago now. It didn't burn to the ground or anything, but, I mean, there was substantial damage. They say it's a total loss, but it leaves me to ask one question, and this goes out not to, this can go out to everybody. But majorly, it goes out to people who are very religious, okay? Here we go. If there is a God, okay, and he is almighty, and you build these temples to worship him and whatnot, why would he let something like that happen if he exists? Is that a bad question to ask? I don't think so. Because if you think about it, you know, now, if somebody built a temple towards me, to me, for me, you know, to worship me, which I really think there should be more around the country to do that, but still, if somebody were to build a temple to worship me, I wouldn't let it burn down. I would do everything in my power, especially if I'm quote-unquote almighty. I would, you know, prevent it from burning down. So why didn't God that day come and, like, hold a hose and help these firemen put it out? Now, what had happened was, it was on a Friday that the fire happened, right? So I was on my way home from work, you know, it's like 6:30, and I'm all excited about coming home, and, like, traffic has just stopped, and I'm like, great, what the fuck? So then I finally get up further and see that, you know, the church must be on fire or something, because they were getting everybody out of the church. You know, everybody was filing out single file and, like, standing far, far away or whatever. But there was no smoke. You didn't see any fire. So maybe it was still, like, you know, at the beginning stages of, you know, engulfing the church. But later on that evening, like, I was home all night, you know, doing whatever. Alex was sleeping. Later that evening, probably around 12:30, I was going to be meeting friends out at Deja Vu, which is, you know, it's kind of like the after-hours bar around here. And I went to the gas station to buy a pack of cigarettes, and I got to the gas station, and, like, six fire trucks, went flying past me, like, honking their horns, you know, blaring their sirens and everything, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? So, of course, Patrick has to be nosy. I drove down that way, and apparently the church was on fire again, and, like, bad. We're talking bad on fire, because there were, like, flames shooting out of the roof and everything. So I'm like, well, you know, that's pretty bad, because the fire department couldn't get it right the first time. And that's not the first time that's happened, either. There is a restaurant up the street on Rivers Avenue. No, that means nothing to anybody who's never been here, but still. Called Wild Wings. And when Wild Wings first opened, it was open for, like, 2 weeks, and it burned down. And apparently a fire had started late in the evening after the bar had closed, around like 12 or 1, and the fire department came, put it out, everything, and it went back up into flames, probably around 3 or 4 a.m. So, you know, I think that the fire department maybe should be retrained on what they need to do to put out a fire, but still. But my question isn't anything about that. It is about God. Where is God when things like this happen? You know? I would like, because, you know, those religious people will be like, oh, you know, Jesus, you know, just feels we need a new beginning. It was an old church. You know, they'll make excuses that make it seem plausible. But if there is a God, I mean, I would imagine that he wouldn't allow a church to burn down. I mean, especially considering, I mean, from the look of it, it's probably been there since the 60s or 70s. So, I mean, realistically, you know, why would he let it burn down? See, I'm posing this just to make people think, because now I'm like, what the fuck? You know? I don't know. But yeah, if there are any religious people out there, I just want to hear excuses. Lots of excuses. I mean, I don't have any problems with religion, and I don't have any issues with people that practice religion. You know, you're more than capable to do what you want, but don't shove it in my face. And though that was one of the churches that used to. They used to pass out flyers around here to, like, all the little neighborhoods that are behind the church and everything. And I just don't find that acceptable. Don't shove your religion in my face, because I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I ask too many questions. I don't just believe everything I read, you know. Speaking of that, lately, there's been all sorts of excitement and buzz around pop culture, so to speak. Lance Bass came out of the closet. He said, you know what? I'm gay. I'm gay and I'm normal. Well, let's talk about normal for a minute. Because in society's eyes, gay is not normal. Apparently, he had touted himself as being a straight-acting gay guy. And that he wasn't going to be an activist for any groups just because he came out of the closet. Now, there is a particular drag queen on the internet that does a show, and I'm sure we all know her. And I respect her opinions, and I respect her beliefs. I listen to her show not regularly because some of them are too long. I just can't, you know, after a while of listening to the same thing over and over again, you just get kind of, like, bogged down, you know? But, you know, does pose interesting questions and whatnot, and a couple things that had concerned me about what was being discussed, because apparently Lance, like I said, he, you know, he considers him one of the straight acting gays, right? So, this particular drag queen says that everybody has a problem with the term straight acting. Well, there are certain people that do have a problem with that and certain people that don't. Okay? What is straight acting, really? If nothing else, then, you know, a man who eats pussy and fucks it. You know? A man can act feminine. A man can, you know, be flamboyant but still be straight. Now, you know, usually they are bi, but whatever. But, I mean, honestly, what determines straight acting? What defines it? I don't think there's anything. You know, because I can sit here and say, oh, I'm straight acting, because when I'm out at a bar, I don't queen out and, you know, wear makeup or, you know, pull my pants down around my ass so you can see my thong. But I'm not straight acting because I am gay. So, you know, that thing, okay, that's a little concern, you know, a big concern for me as far as saying, you know, someone is straight acting. But understand where they're coming from when they say it. You know, the way we see straight acting men is drinking beer and watching football and not going to the clubs and dressing up like women. You know, things like that. I don't think any of us need a drag queen defining normal behavior, because you're running around in women's clothing and makeup, to be completely honest. I mean, the whole reason I do drag attacks is just to, you know... I mean, it's interesting to watch these drag queens, you know, up on stage, but that's not... I mean, again, what is normal behavior? But as far as I'm concerned, that's not normal. No, not everybody does it, you know? But that's what makes everybody so different. You know, but what my biggest concern about it is, you know, the tangents that she went off on, you know, of what's considered stereotypical. Now, pop culture, you know, the media, TV, all these things make stereotypes of gay men and women, what they should and shouldn't be, jokes that they make. For instance, let's take Will and Grace, okay? Will and Grace, very funny show. There were a lot of gay rights groups when it first came out that were banning the show, or were not banning the show, but boycotting the show because of the stereotypical undertones that it had. Now, Jack being a flamboyant homosexual, you know, all these, like, stereotypical things that were being said, you know, that is a very big point of what I'm trying to make. You see things like this, and this is what makes gay men, gay women, gay life acceptable for these people that don't believe that homosexuality is right. Now, I say, if this is what's going to pick us up and get us pushed ahead in society and make us realize that we are here, we are queer, so get used to it, so be it. But the thing is, everybody plays off of some type of stereotype at one point or another. You know, whether it be every gay man and woman, you know, is this. You know, every gay man turns into a big old Nelly queen and starts running around like a little bitch and da-da-da-da-da. Not every guy does that. But that's what makes gay life funny for these people. That's what makes it acceptable for them to laugh at and accept, because they can poke fun at it. Now, I'm poking fun at a church burning down asking, where is God? You know, I mean, it's kind of like the same, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I mean, it doesn't make me not accept someone's religion anymore. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying anymore. But my whole point is, you know, don't come down on what's stereotypical. Don't try to define normal behavior, especially when you're in a dress. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm straight acting, because I can queen out with the best of them. You know, I do it all the time. It's fun. Sometimes it's fun. But it gets to the point where these nasty, rude, obnoxious Nelly queens in the bar, and everybody knows who they are, you know, will run around, you know, half naked with makeup on and wigs and act like they're the shit and start mocking other people. That it's unnecessary, you know? Because you need to mock people to make yourself feel better. You need to take a look in the mirror. Okay? Furthermore, I was actually watching an episode of South Park the other night. And, I'm gonna ignore the whole subplot thing that was going on. But, there was a part in the show where, one of the characters went to hang out with one of the goth people. Because I guess he didn't fit in or something, I don't know, I really don't care. So, he went to hang out with the goth people, became one of the goth people, and they're always talking about pain and, you know, strife and how hard life is and blah, 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 blah. I recognized it and I laughed, because there were people like that in my high school. And the biggest thing about them was screaming at other people that they were conformists. You know, I don't conform to the norms. You know, I don't wear Tommy Hilfiger because, you know, of this and that and blah, 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 blah. Well, what I always found very, like, annoying about that, and especially in high school, and I used to say it to one of my friends all the time, all they want is attention. They want people to gawk at them because they look like Halloween every day. You know? They're dressed in black and you wear white makeup. That doesn't make you an individual. That makes you one of Marilyn Manson's minions, okay? That's all it really does. And it doesn't make you an individual. You don't have individual thoughts. You bite off of these things in pop culture, you know? Now, you're sitting here like saying, oh, I don't conform to pop culture, but what is Marilyn Manson? He records albums, and although he's screaming like, you know, some crazy person and does these, like, all this weird shit, I won't even get into that. But that doesn't make him an individual. It doesn't make you an individual. And he is pop culture. He's recording albums and selling them for profit. That's pop culture. You know, it's in mainstream. It's in the media, it's on the radio, it's on TV. It's pop culture. Anything like that is pop culture. Just like these podcasts nowadays. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me that, you know, podcasts are, you know, an underground thing like they used to be. You know, that they're all, you know, hidden and shadowed by, you know, by real media. And we're, you know, giving, you know, honest opinions, and we don't have things overclouded by society and quote-unquote pop culture. But let's be realistic. You record this show and you talk about things, whether you like it or not, you know, in media today. You talk about gay life. It's available on iTunes. It's available on the internet. Your shows are available on AOL now. You can review little snippets of the show on AOL. So I'm not getting where people think that they're not conforming to pop culture. You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, because I was actually catching up on another podcast, and they were mentioning this podcast that was being done. So I was like, oh, well, you know, if they like it, maybe I'll go and listen to it. And all they could talk about was Sarah McLachlan. And Tori Amos. Okay, you know what? And then they're, like, they're bad-mouthing Madonna. And that's not why I'm coming down on them, I swear. But they're bad-mouthing Madonna. And they're bad-mouthing Britney Spears. You know, all these, like, pop icons that are, you know, that are, like, mainstream in the media. That, you know, everybody knows their household names, things like that. You know? Well, Tori Amos doesn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Well, number one, how do you know? Because you're not best friends with her. Number two, she is pop culture. Okay? She's available on the internet. She's available on iTunes. She records albums to make money. Okay? She doesn't perform in a fucking garage or a CD bar. She's got an agent. She makes money when you buy her album. That is pop culture. And just because, like, she's singing about strife and the fact that she was raped when she was 9, I don't give a shit. That's what happened in her life. You know what? So be it. But she's making money off of you. It's pop culture. I don't understand how these people can sit here and think that anything mainstream is not pop culture. How? Does that make any sense? I mean, if you want to be completely non-pop culture, don't listen to the radio, don't watch TV, don't read articles on the internet, don't download iTunes, because it's all part of what's mainstream. You know, and you're gonna sit here and shout in my face that, you know, oh God, how could you do that? You know, it's just corporate America coming down on us, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? No matter where you go, it's gonna come down on you. You know? And just because I choose to listen or invest in these things by buying the music and whatnot doesn't, you know, doesn't buy me a future in anything. Now, I was listening to this drag queen on the internet, and I'm not bad-mouthing her, it, whatever, because, you know, I happen to like her shows a lot of the times, but, you know, I can't sit idly by and just let things go anymore, because certain things seem to me very hypocritical. Working hard doesn't get you far in life, you know? She was pointing out that white people, and I think she referred to them as crackers, which, excuse me for the term, but that's just as good as referring to African Americans and black people as niggers, saying, you know, only white people say, if you work hard and, you know, do this and that, you can make it, you can do whatever you want. Okay, basically, I don't know if that's necessarily 100% true, but this country is full of success stories, not only by white people, but also by African Americans and Latin people, Asians. This country is filled with many different races, many different religions, and everybody has made it. All you have to do is apply yourself. And what I want to point out here is, why don't we take a look at this man in the dress? Okay? You came from nothing. As far as I know, I mean, I picked up the shows in the middle, but I'm going by what I know. Okay? You start recording a podcast that, you know, is free, just like I'm doing right now. I make no money by doing this. Nobody has to pay for my subscriptions. And now you apparently have this wonderful gig at a magazine, and, you know, you're obviously making money off of what you're doing. Didn't you work hard to do that? Didn't you go through certain things? Didn't you push and strive to become what you are right now? Not necessarily saying it was your dream from the beginning, but, you know, you've made something of yourself. You have a name, and you've made this life for yourself by working hard. Now, I think anybody can have any ability to sit here and do whatever they want. You know? I mean, anybody. I mean, this, like I was saying, this country is filled with success stories of people who have made it. They showed up on our soil with 10 cents, and now they're multimillionaires. Not necessarily saying money is equaling success. You know, it could also be coming here and living a free life and having a family without fear of persecution or, you know, being murdered and thrown into a fucking ditch. So how dare anybody sit here and say, well, you know, my grandfather's sitting here saying, if I can do it, anybody can do it. That's not bullshit. That is true. Everybody is given the means to do what they want. Everybody is in charge of their own destiny to become whatever they want to become. Now, me, I had my ability. I could have stayed in school. I could have gotten a job, you know, fixing computers and doing internet bullshit. But I gave it up because I wanted to pursue what I wanted to pursue at that time. Where has it led me? Pretty much nowhere. I'm working in a boat dealership doing accounting, recording a podcast for free on a Sunday afternoon. You know? But that was my choice. And I'm sure if I work hard at anything that I choose to do, I can succeed. But am I working hard right now? No. All I'm waiting for is my cruise in October so I can relax. Then I'll work hard. But as of right now, you know, I'm just letting life lead me to where it leads me. I'm just being happy. But how, I don't understand how anybody can sit here and say, well, you know, you know, if you try hard, you're not gonna make it. You know, then what drives somebody to try and succeed? You know? It may be, you know, you work hard, you push and you strive for whatever, and you don't make it. Isn't it better to have tried to do it than to just sit idly by and do absolutely nothing? Now, after that whole spiel, I had to stop listening because, you know, I just saw where it was going, and I just got very uncomfortable. And I'm not even sure I should have, like, recorded this, but whatever. But that's what I'm getting at, you know. And I don't appreciate when people will sit there and just, you know, and try to be like, oh God, I don't even know. You know? Don't try to be an individual if you're gonna follow pop culture. You know, if you're gonna kiss a supposed celebrity's ass, you know, don't try to denounce it, you know, 24 hours later. I don't know. I mean, I just may be taking it all wrong, but, I mean, listen to what I've said, you know. Does it not make sense? I mean, you know, and these people that say we're not conformists, don't conform, you are conforming. You know, everybody's conforming. Just because you think you're an individual, that's fine if you think you're an individual. But do something individual. Do something different. Do something, you know, worthwhile. Don't just sit there and pretend to be intellectual because you wear black clothing, white makeup, or because you dress as a drag queen and, you know, you deal with persecution for people screaming and hollering at you because you're a man in a dress. You know, that doesn't make you a messiah. That doesn't make you, like, so important, and that doesn't make you some sort of intellectual. So, I don't know. I'm not gonna go much further into this. But speaking of pop culture, has anybody heard all this crap that's going on with, like, Justin Timberlake? And, well, Christina Aguilera came out with a brand new album, you know, and the new song, like, kicks ass. And she did this interview with MTV, and she was all humble and everything, and it went very, very well. But Justin Timberlake recently did an interview, and apparently he was a little bitch. Huge bitch. Like, just, like, being really nasty to the interviewer. Now, I'm not gonna say that I heard this firsthand, because I heard it on the radio from a morning show here in Charleston called Two Girls and a Guy. And there's this girl, Brooke, who is, I think she's like 22 or something. And she's kind of like the entertainment bitch on the radio, if you will. So she gives all the news of, like, the entertainment that's happened for the week and whatnot. And she had mentioned that Justin Timberlake badmouthed Taylor Hicks, saying that he can't sing and he's talentless and whatnot, blah, 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 blah. Which, I can't say that I agree 100% with Justin Timberlake, but who the hell made him the person of all things famous, you know? Who made him, you know, the forefront of, you know, popularity and what's right and wrong as far as, you know, music, you know? Because, yeah, look at your starts. You were in NSYNC. You were in a male pop band. Now, I don't agree with how Taylor Hicks got his start, you know, on American Idol, because I don't follow that whole, you know, I'm gonna let America pick me, because they always make mistakes. But I don't know, like, what's happening with Justin Timberlake. He's just, like, such a whiny bitch. He really, really is. You know? I mean, who makes him, like, I don't know. What gives him the right to, like, badmouth somebody else? You know? Because, I mean, you're not the greatest thing, you know? You're not, like, the best. You know? There's many out there that match you, if not better. So, who the hell, who are you? You know, and isn't it a completely different style that Taylor Hicks has? So, why are you coming down on him? You know, I just don't get it. You know? I think he needs to be knocked off of his high horse. He needs to release an album and have it go, like, debut at, like, number 400. You know, and not sell, like, any more than, like, 4 copies. He needs to humble up a little bit. And he needs to fess up, because he knew that, he knew Janet Jackson was gonna rip off her tit. Well, not her tit, but her thing. Her tit was gonna fly out. Like, how could you not know that was gonna happen? You know? And how would the world, like, this is my question about that whole thing. Because the excuse that was given was that just the leather part was gonna be ripped out, and the, not sheer, but whatever she had underneath it was just gonna be exposed. How would anybody... What would be the point of doing that? Who would have noticed? Who would have seen... Who would have realized that that's what was going to happen? You know? It would have made a bigger impact if you ripped everything off and her tit fell out. But because it became such a big thing, he had to denounce it in some way. And it was easiest. His mommy probably told him, well, just say that, you know, Janet decided that she was going to do it last minute. You know, you can't blame that all on Janet Jackson. No, ma'am. So, I mean, I was reminiscing about the early 90s the other day. You know, from the NSYNC days and Britney Spears and whatnot. And I was on YouTube. If nobody's gone on YouTube, check it out, because it's a lot of fun. You can search pretty much anything, and something will pop up. Like, I searched my high school, Pascack Valley, and I suggest everybody look for this, because it just proves what lives in my hometown. Look up Pascack Valley or Pascack Valley High School, and you will find a video. It's some rap song. That's popular with all the kids nowadays, and apparently they're all, you know, somebody walked around with a camera and said, here, lip sync this song for me. So there's one part where the camera's in the bathroom, and there are two guys at a urinal, and the one guy just looks like he keeps looking into the urinal next to him, so I'm like, okay, he's gay. But then there's also a part where, like, there's this thing in my high school called a breezeway, and, It connects the main building to the new building that they have built. So these kids are out, like, in the breezeway area, and, like, you know, they're rapping to the song, and they're trying to be all hard, you know, and they're white. And, you know, they're all like, yo, 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 blah, 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 right? But the one guy, like, took off his shirt, and he kept pushing everybody else out of the way. So he's gay. He's like the gay camera hog. You know those. The ones that always have to be like the forefront in the picture. And have to do something outrageous so they're seen. So he took off his shirt so everybody would see him. Yeah. Woo! So, yeah. I was looking on... I was looking at YouTube and I found something... Britney Spears. It was only 30 seconds long, but some guy apparently had seen her coming back to her car from a shopping spree, I suppose. And he didn't chase her, he didn't run up to her, didn't grab her, nothing. He was just like, hello, Britney, how are you? She completely ignored him. He was like, how are you doing? And she completely ignored him. You know, and he walked around to the back of the car and was like, you know, he asked how her son was. Sean Preston, I think his name is, or whatever. And she said, he's fine, and, like, you know, started to get in the car, and he's like, okay, have a nice day. Like, the guy was very, very nice, and she was extremely cold. Why do you have to be like that? You know? I don't get it. That was just fucked up. Because, I mean, if I was in her position, number one, I would divorce Kevin Federline. I would have never married him to begin with, but that's besides the point. But I would have honestly... You know, been like, oh, fine, how are you? You know, I would have, you know, spoken to the person. I would have acknowledged the fact that they were there. I wouldn't have just ignored them. You know? And no one said that you had to, like, sit down and have tea with them. I just think that's fucked up. I mean, how dare you do something like that? But, I mean, I was looking through all of that and, like, you know, looking at all the old performances and everything, and it's just so sad. It's like, you know, it was such a fun time. Seriously, it really was. I mean, maybe not for anybody else, but for me it was, you know. Apparently there are some people that I listened to that were tweaked out at that period in time, but whatever. And, I mean, the whole point to me going on YouTube was trying to find this recording of Kevin Federline rapping. Apparently it was like the Teen Choice Awards or something like that. And he rapped, and the critics are saying it was really shitty. So they had played it on the radio, and they were like, oh, it's not that bad. Awful. Oh my God, it's horrible. Horrible. He makes Vanilla Ice look like a fucking god. I'm going to tell you that right now. He was horrible. You know, screaming about, look at me, I'm number one. Bitch, you ain't even put out the album yet. How are you going to sit here and tell me you're number one? Number two, maybe. So, yeah. But now there's this, all this shit, you know, and everybody's like, oh, Kevin Federline's horrible, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so Britney Spears has to top him and go pose on a magazine naked. Why is it every pregnant celebrity has to put their naked body on a magazine? I mean, I don't have a problem with naked women or whatever, or pregnant women, but combined on the front of a magazine, I don't think it's appropriate. Just like breastfeeding in public, I think that's disgusting. One time, Alex and I were at a hotel, and we were walking in from the pool, and this woman had her baby, like, snatched onto her tit, and it was just, like, sucking away, and I was like, that is fucking disgusting. You know, and somebody's like, that's a part of life. And I'm like, no, it's fucking gross. I can't whip out my dick in public and get it sucked. Why can you have your tit sucked? Granted, it's not for pleasure, but people shouldn't have to be subjected to seeing your bare tit being sucked on by a little kid. That's just wrong. I'm sorry. Go into a bathroom or buy a bottle. You know, and maybe I'm completely wrong in saying that, but I just personally think it's disgusting. You know? It is gross. I mean, I've never really understood why, I mean, I'll get into this because, you know, to try to redeem myself a little bit. I've never understood why women had to, you know, cover up their upper half. I mean, tits are gross, but they're mesmerizing, if anybody's realized. You know, these big jubbly things bouncing around when they walk, you know, it's very interesting. But, I mean, I've been to a gay pride parades in New York City. Women walk around topless. I don't think they can do that anymore after the whole groping thing at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. But, you know, there were women walking around topless, and it didn't bother me, you know. And I never understood why, you know, men could take off their shirts and expose their chests, but women had to keep their tits covered up. I never really saw it as two different things. But then you add an element like a baby sucking on it, and you're just like, ew. Because it turns from, you know, the human body and the human form into, you know, a feeding machine, and that's nasty. I don't want to see that. You know? Ugh. Gross. God. So whenever I see a woman breastfeeding, I kind of make a comment. I really do. Because, you know, if it were something of equally, you know, like, let's put it this way. A woman with 5 children is walking around in a public place and somebody says shit. She freaks out because her children just heard a bad word. But it's okay for you to whip out your tit and let everybody else's kid see your kid sucking on it. You know, maybe somebody else's parents don't want to see that. Or maybe there are people that are disgusted by it like me. You know, for me it's the same thing. That's kind of hypocritical and that's it. It kind of annoys me. It pisses me off, bitches! Bitches! What am I at? 40 minutes? That's fabulous. Fabulous! So, the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina has come up and come around. I don't know. What's today? Today's the 27th? When did it hit? I thought it was the 23rd. I don't know. Whatever. So, anyway, Hurricane Katrina recently hit, and it was very sad because I was reading an article. They had a jazz parade or something for the pets that were lost during Hurricane Katrina. And I think that is the most tragic story. Because, you know, these animals didn't really know any better, the poor things. And, you know, this water's rising and just imagine how frightened they are. So scared these poor animals were. You know, and there was nothing that these animals could do. They were stuck. And these people had to leave without them, which I think is very sad. You know? But, you know, that's just the way these assholes are, you know, but whatever. So they had this big old parade for these animals, and I was reading one snippet of the article, and somebody had made a comment that he had to put his dog to sleep after the hurricane because she had kidney failure, something with the water, I don't know. Apparently she had survived being in the house, but I don't know. Something happened and she had gotten sick with kidney failure. So he was there when the animal was put to sleep because, and this almost made me cry, he had promised the dog, always if he had to put her down, that he would be there so she could be looking at him when she was put down. And that is so sad. It really, really is. I mean, if you think about it. Pretty thing, because it's a lot, you know. A dog's love is unconditional, and, you know, seeing your owner's face being the last thing that you see, you know, it's very sweet. But it was very sad when I read the comment, I wanted to cry. But I'm okay now. But, you know, on the anniversary of the hurricane, this mayor in Louisiana, who I think is reaping more benefits from making his ridiculous, outlandish comments, made a comment that, you know, I think he had done an interview in New York, and he said to the reporter, you people in New York can't even get a big hole fixed in the middle of the earth. What makes you think, you know, my town would get fixed any quicker, or something like that. But making, referring to Ground Zero, you know, the World Trade Center site and the September 11th attacks, which I think is, although small in comparison to the destruction that was done by Hurricane Katrina, I honestly think that it shouldn't be referred to in the same context, because it's a completely different type of disaster. You know, you have something that was, you know, a part of nature, as opposed to something that was done deliberately, and not to mention rebuilding down there obviously wasn't going to be easy, because you had people bitching that, you know, don't put up more buildings, it should just be a park, and then you had people bitching, you know, it should be more housing, it should be low-income housing, you know, yeah, low-income housing in the middle of downtown Manhattan, you know, and then you also had people who, you know, were, you know, bitching that, you know, it's all sacred ground now, that it shouldn't be built on at all, it should just be, you know, left as it is, and really, who's going to benefit from it? You know, it's going to people that are going to be the people that make money off of the site rather than, you know, the thing that might be the right way, the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't think that mayor guy thinks before he talks, because he had made that whole comment about it being a chocolate city again. These are things that are just unnecessary. You know, not to mention, I mean, you know, you're sitting here trying to be the savior, but during all that time, your city was like, your whole city was living in poverty, you know? You had the really, really rich and the really, really poor. There was, like, never anything in between, you know? And you're the mayor, so you're, like, the really, really rich, you know? I mean, hello? But I don't think, I mean, two devastating disasters, really. But, I mean, I don't think both of them should be brought up in the same context. It doesn't really add up to me, you know? And the other day, I'm going to leave everybody with this, because Alex and I went to see World Trade Center, which, it was a really good movie. If anybody's looking to, you know, see something like this, you may not be ready to see it unfold on TV or on in the movies, which is understandable, because I don't think I was 100% ready, to be honest. But what I thought was very good about the movie was it didn't focus on the actual attack or what was happening inside the buildings at the time, but just the lives of these two men that survived the attacks, you know, which was very, very good. I mean, the only part, you never saw the buildings fall, you heard it, but you were with the actors underneath the World Trade Center as it happened, so you heard the crumbling and you heard the rumbling of the building and everything, so it's very, very kind of frightening, you know, to imagine yourself in that position. But, yeah, I mean, if anybody, you know, is, you know, I definitely suggest it was a really good movie, you know, and I appreciate the fact that they didn't, you know, focus on the attacks themselves, you know. You saw, they showed it, don't get me wrong, they showed it, but that's not the only thing they focused on, and I think that was a very good way to go. Because, I mean, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting it to just solely be, like, you know, the attacks themselves, and this is, you know, a result of somebody surviving it. But no, it actually went into depths about their lives and what was going on at the time, and, it really actually caught, you know, feelings that, you know, it makes you feel like somebody would have felt when it was going through that. And the weirdest thing was, the one Port Authority cop lived in Clifton. And Alex and I lived in Clifton during the time that this... We didn't live in Clifton yet. But the area that Alex and I lived in Clifton, this Port Authority cop lived in, I guess. And there was a part in the movie where they were in a CVS drugstore, which was, like, right up the street from our house. And they were, at one point, they were stopped in a car at a stoplight. And, I mean, you can imagine, for anybody who, you know, was waiting to hear from somebody that was in the attacks, you know, every second was like an hour. So, you know, this part of the movie was just kind of like that. They were just kind of sitting there waiting for the light to turn red. And you know what's going through your head at that point in time. Just all these thoughts are running through your head. And we realized that that was the corner, like, right up the street from our house. So it was very, very weird. I'm like, oh my God, we used to live there. You know? But, it was just very, it was very, very, very interesting. So I definitely suggest it. But I'm going to leave everybody with this. Start going all the way back to the beginning of the show when I talked about God being around when the church burned down. Why wouldn't he stop it? I was in a chat room the other day, and there was this straight girl that came in and started trying to talk to all the gay guys. And they were talking about World Trade Center because somebody else had gone and seen it. And apparently she was rather religious, because even her profile had religious shit all over it. And she proceeded to say that the attacks on the World Trade Center were a wake-up call, and which I think it is also, but not the type of wake-up call that she was talking about. But she said that the people that day got what they deserved because... they forgot about Jesus. How dare anybody blame 3,000 people dying on something that may or may not exist? Okay? Let's think about this again. If there is a God, if there is Jesus and he's up there watching us all, he didn't even put out a fire in his own church. Why would he not prevent 3,000 people from dying in the most horrific attack I have ever personally witnessed in my life? How dare anybody sit there and say that? And that's exactly what I'm talking about with these religious people, because they use religion, they use Jesus, they twist the words that were written to mold their own warped minds, you know, beliefs. Sickening. Very, very sickening. So, I just had to, you know, I didn't even want to bother arguing with this girl. I just closed the chat room. I couldn't believe it. But that just proves my point on why I don't respect people that shove religion in your face. Why, when Jehovah's Witnesses or, you know, anybody walking around selling candy for churches, I slam the door in their face, you know? Even if it's, well, not little children. Little children, I won't slam the door in their face, but I won't buy candy because they're being forced to. Little children don't even know what this means. They don't know what it's all about, you know? They just know that mommy and daddy tell them that they have to go sell candy, you know? So, I don't know. I'm going to leave everybody with that thought. I know it's kind of a depressing thought, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to wish everybody a happy Monday. And I'll probably have a lot of hate mail. But you know what? That's what this is all about. So I'm going to wish everybody happy Monday, and I want y'all take care. Bye-bye.